Hello, loves. Welcome to I Am Love Podcast. I'm your host, Saida. And today I have a special guest on the podcast, Caitlin Daniel. She is a women's freedom lifestyle coach who helps women up-level their mindset and confidence so that they can show up in the world and design the lifestyle of their dreams. She is an avid tea drinker, nature lover, and a big fan of female empowerment and self-love. Thank you so much for being here, Caitlin.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Caitlin, can you take a few moments and share your story with us?
Absolutely. So I have been dealing with chronic illness for 12 years now. And I, you know, when I graduated from college, I got progressively sicker and sicker. And I hit this point where I said, you know, I was tired of waking up in the morning questioning if this was it. Was there more to life? Could I dream these big dreams? And, you know, I had a moment where I said, okay, well, I have to start doing something for myself. So I started my blog, The Sunday Series, which is based on the premise that every day should be like a Sunday, the day that you spend doing the things that you love, as opposed to just living for the weekend. And, you know, I immediately fell in love with writing and with blogging, and from there kind of transitioned into coaching and the coaching world. And like Saida said, I'm a women's freedom and lifestyle coach. So what I do is I help women really up-level their mindset and their confidence so that they can show up in their life as a leader and design the life that they want for themselves. I think so often we as women put ourselves last in life to take care of everybody else. We're the nurturers, the carers, the supporters. And we forget that we too can have big, crazy dreams and big, crazy goals and go after those things. So I work to help empower women, give them the confidence, help them get into a healthy mindset so they can tell themselves, heck yeah, I can go after that. You know, it may be a big crazy dream. I call them BHAGs, big hairy audacious goals. And it's a term I actually got from a female CEO, but I've kind of adopted it because I think it's so perfect. And this idea that I want to help women know that they can go after those goals. They can live the life that they want to live, even if society has told them they can't. So that's kind of where I come from. I had a point where I realized that I wasn't living my fullest and I wasn't, you know, living for myself. I was waking up every day wondering, am I ever going to get a chance to dream? Am I ever going to get a chance to live my life? I think so often we are living without really living. And I want women, especially I work with women, but everybody, to know that you can live a life that's more than just living. You know, there's more to being alive than just being alive. There's this whole crazy world out there. And, you know, whether you approach things from a religious background, a spiritual background, a scientific background, whatever, we were given this one miraculous, you know, miracle of a life, and it is our job to live it to the fullest. I firmly believe that and people may disagree with me on this, and that's perfectly fine, but I'm a firm believer that if you can make the world better than it was when you got here, you've done your job. So my whole thing is really letting women know, like, you can go after that. It may be crazy, and it may be scary, but you can use that fear and you can be empowered and you can have that confidence and you can go after it because you deserve it.
I love it. Who influenced you to get to this place? Like, was there a pinnacle moment in your journey that opened that door and seeing the world differently, seeing yourself differently? Or was there like a person who influenced you on your journey?
I don't know if there was one person so much as just I've tried to surround myself with a lot of really strong women, but I definitely had kind of a pinnacle moment. You know, like I said, after college, getting progressively sicker and sicker, I wasn't able to work a traditional job because, unfortunately, the traditional world and the corporate world and a lot of that doesn't account for people who are sick. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had this moment where I just like I said, when I started blogging, I had this moment where I said, I need to do something for myself. You know, it may not be what I want to be doing. It may not be where I thought I was going to be, because I had a whole, you know, life planned out career-wise, everything of what I was going to be doing, what I went to school for, what I had done jobs for, what, everything. And I started blogging and kind of fell into the online entrepreneurial world and the online coaching world, and realized that there's an entire community out there of people just trying to help other people be better people. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was an incredible space. So I had this kind of light bulb epiphany moment of, you know, maybe my life had to fall apart to fall together. And I took every course I could take and learned everything I could about life coaching and NLP and mindset and confidence and, you know, how to craft your dreams and all kinds of things like that, and mindfulness. And I mean, I could go on and on about the things I took courses on, but I did it because I wanted to learn as much as I could. So there wasn't one specific person, but there was kind of a moment where I kind of had, you know, a come to Jesus moment, so to speak, with myself. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, are you going to keep letting your life be dictated by being sick? Are you going to keep letting your life be this life where you wake up in the morning questioning if you can have more? Are you going to try and go after something more? And I kind of had to wake myself up and shake myself a little bit and say, you know what? You're going to try. The worst thing that happens is you fail. And if you fail, you're right back to where you were. You didn't lose out on anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important, because so many women, and so many people in general, but I find that women, especially from the women I've talked to, are scared to go after things because there's that fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And failure, I've kind of come to realize, is something that you have to put yourself in a position where it's okay to fail, because the worst thing that happens when you fail is you're right back to where you were. And you already know that spot. Exactly.
Definitely.
You absolutely learn something. And you know, if you do fail, all that happens is you're right back to where you started. And that was already a position you had grown accustomed to. I kind of had that moment where I told myself, like, you have to try something for yourself. And it ended up being, like, one of the best things I've ever done for myself. But, you know, I think that I kind of had to go through a period of failure, so to speak, and really take a good long look at myself and say, am I okay with where my life is right now? And if the answer is no, then something needs to change.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I definitely was there when I was in my depression state for 2 years. You know, you said life, it was a moment where, like, my intuition, my higher self was just like, you know what? You can't keep going like this. You know,
exactly.
My soul is like, I don't want to be here. We're so much more than this. You have to wake up. You have to do something about this instead of just sitting there. And that's why I went to therapy. And then I started getting into spirituality and talking to psychics and, you know, spiritual counselors. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to find the answers. It doesn't matter how many doors you have to knock on. It's just like a child who's learning to walk. They keep falling. They keep falling. They keep falling. And parents, we keep, you know, encouraging our kids to walk. They are going to fall down.
Exactly,
it might take
exactly.
You, and you have to treat yourself as you would a child, and you have to, with compassion and encouragement, be your cheerleader and keep getting up and trying again until you can walk and then run, you know. And so...
So true.
I was so there. Like, I think that the main reason why I started blogging is because I'm like, I don't want someone to get to this very low moment where they have to pull themselves up. I want you, before you, like, when you start to slope down the hill, you can stop and be like, okay, I need to fix certain things, maneuver certain things so I can get back up the hill if you're halfway there. Versus me, I was just like you, I was at the bottom. And I'm like, there's no way to go up but here. So I love that. And you touched a lot on mindset. And so how does someone up-level their mindset?
The biggest thing that I tell people to start with is, well, it's kind of twofold. I tell them to take action, number one. Mm-hmm. You have to start somewhere small. But like you said about treating yourself as a child, The next thing I tell people is this thing called the child technique. And I didn't come up with it, so I don't claim it. But I learned about it, and it's been revolutionary in my life. And it's the number one thing I start teaching women when they come to me with a negative mindset. And it's this idea that do not talk to yourself in a way that you wouldn't talk to the child version of yourself. So if you are mean to yourself and you're harsh to yourself and you speak to yourself with all this negativity, stop. Start talking to yourself like you would the younger version of Caitlin or the younger version of Saida. You know, Speak with compassion and love and trust. You know, if you wouldn't tell 7-year-old you something, why are you telling adult you that? Because I find that when women come to me with mindset and confidence issues, one of the number one things that we start with, at least, I think mindset is so all-encompassing. One of the number one things that I find that they're struggling with is how they talk to themselves. And you are the number one person that you listen to in this world. And if you can start with your subconscious and how you're talking to yourself, you're already on the path to a healthier mindset. I never preach have a positive mindset because I don't think it's realistic. Life throws so many curveballs at you that I think having a balanced, healthy mindset is the key. Not to say that we don't want to be positive sometimes. Obviously, I'm not, you know, saying let's never be positive. But I see so many people say, oh, you have to have a positive mindset. But I think a healthy, balanced mindset is better. Because having a healthy mindset helps you approach things when life throws bad things at you. And unfortunately, life will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love that because I come from a loving, like, come from love, speak from love, you know.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's even love for yourself. If someone's bullying you or putting you down and judging you and being critical of you, sometimes you're just speaking from a place of love for yourself as well. You know, I believe this. I am this. I know who I am. You can't tell me who I am. Because a lot of it, if it's not starting in your mind of you being critical of yourself, it's because someone else told you this is who you
exactly.
are. This is how you are. And then you believe them. And then you start speaking nasty to yourself. You know?
Exactly. I think we so often, like I said, we're the number one person we listen to. We're also the... You know, the culmination of the five people, they say we're the culmination of the five people we spend the most time with. And you have to be so careful with what you're putting into your life and what you're bringing into your life. And if, I'm not saying that you're bringing bullies into your life, but if you're letting that talk that they say to you seep into your subconscious, then your mind is going to pick up on that and start using that language in how you talk to yourself.
Okay.
So you have to be so careful in... when you work on your confidence and a healthy mindset and everything, that you are being mindful of what you're telling yourself, because, you know, so much of working through limiting beliefs and working on your confidence is shifting how you talk to yourself, because that's why I'm a firm believer in affirmations and mantras and things like that, is because if you can almost trick your brain by repeating things like positive affirmations or positive mantras to yourself, you rewire in a sense, or I don't like the word trick, but you rewire in a sense your brain into how you talk to yourself and how you approach things. And that's one of the ways you start working through limiting beliefs, is telling your brain, okay, well, I'm no longer going to look at X situation from this standpoint. I'm going to start looking at it from another standpoint, because I now talk to myself differently. I now think differently. That's how you start overcoming those limiting beliefs. That's how you start getting into a healthier mindset. That's how you start up-leveling your confidence, how you start, you know, living more mindfully and practicing more gratitude. And it all comes from what I would say the number one thing about how to get a healthier mindset is how you talk to yourself and how you treat yourself. Because you can have everyone in the world tell you you're amazing and you're wonderful and you're beautiful and you're smart, but if everything somebody says goes in one ear and out the other, and you're still telling yourself, I'm ugly, I suck, I'm not enough, you're never going to get there. You're never going to believe those people. It has to start with taking that internal action. I think that, you know, a lot of a lot of the time people don't realize that how we're shaped fundamentally, so much of it happens when we're children, mm-hmm. and what we hear and what we experience that dictates how we are as adults. And people don't want to go back and say, you know, yeah, that one thing that guy said to me really affected me, or that one thing that bully told me really affected me. People don't want to look back and let that have power over their life, but you have to acknowledge it and work through it so that it doesn't have power over you anymore. And that's how you work through things. Because I was severely bullied up through college, severely, severely bullied. And it definitely affected my confidence and definitely affected my mindset. And to this day, I could tell you everything that somebody had said to me because it still cycles in my brain. But that is something that through all my mindset work, and I used to not be a fan of personal development. I will tell you straight up. I used to think it was a bunch of hooey. I was like, no, this is not for me. I just wasn't about that life, so to speak. But I also struggled with anxiety and depression severely. And I had to kind of come to a point where I said, you know, I actually started getting into personal development with the idea of acting as if, which is the premise that, you know, you act as if what you want to accomplish or who you want to be has already happened. So if you want to be a CEO, act as if you already are one, dress like one, talk like one, work like one, act like one. So I started acting as if I was already accomplishing the things I wanted to accomplish. I was already being, you know, Caitlin 2.0, so to speak. And I think that, you know, that really helped me get into personal development and really helped me get into mindset work and coaching and things like that. But I think that, you know, like I said, being severely bullied, those thoughts are always in your head. Mm-hmm. You just have to work to overpower them and to reshift and rethink. You know, maybe that person was going through something, or maybe that person didn't realize or doesn't realize how harmful the things that they say are. You know, yeah. I know myself well enough now to know that the things they said are not true. But child version of me didn't know that, you know? And now the adult version of me can say, you know what, I'm going to work through all that crap from childhood, because so much of who we are is dictated by what goes through and what happens in our childhood.
Oh, agreed. I want to go back to the five people around you who have influence over you and really go talk about energy. Because we hear about that so much. There's so many memes going around about, like, you know, about that. Like, you tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. You know, I've been hearing that since I was a little kid. And so I think that we have to go deeper into that and talk about energy, because
absolutely,
that is huge. Like, especially if you're an empath like myself, you know, I could walk into a room and then if my energy was, like, I'm high, loving, and the energy in the room is low, I can feel all of that. I can get emotional.
Oh, I'm
and it's not even my emotion. You know what I mean? It's so weird. But I think being mindful of your energy and others is so, so important, especially if you're very, like, sensitive or you're very empathic. It's extremely important.
Well, my friends laugh at me sometimes about it because we'll be somewhere and I'll look at them. I say, what's wrong? And they're like, nothing. I'm like, no, I can tell something's wrong. You just may not know that something's wrong yet. I'm like, I can tell that. So I understand what you're saying about that energy thing. Or maybe they don't want to acknowledge that something is wrong. But I think that one of the biggest, like, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes here for all the people listening, energy hacks that I tell people is, not only to watch what you tell yourself and be conscious of that, but watch what you tell yourself in terms of, like, how you spend your time and who you spend your time with. Assess who you spend your time with, because, and speaking from personal experience here, I had a period my senior year of college where I realized that a lot of my friendships were very superficial, very rooted in negativity or drama or just things that I didn't really want in my life. And I, you know, kind of had to sit down and say, okay, Caitlin, do you think these friendships are going to last outside of college? Do you think these people are the kind of people who would, you know, be there for you on a night when you just needed to cry? Do you think these people would be there for you if times got tougher? And if I couldn't answer yes to those questions, I started thinking, well, why am I in these friendships? Why am I in these relationships with people and letting these people in my circle and letting these people in my energy space if these relationships are not beneficial to me? So I started, and this is kind of harsh, but it's true, I started cutting people out of my life that weren't good for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes you have to do that. And I had a conversation with my younger sister about it, because she was experiencing something similar in one of her last years of school. And I said, you know, it happens. You start to reassess these relationships in your life and reassess, mm-hmm, as you get older, what kind of people you want to surround yourself with. And if you can't say that that person brings positivity or brings, you know, health or something into your life, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm going to keep this person at a distance or on a peripheral level. Because when you let people into your life, they get into your energy, they get into your subconscious, they get into your mindset, and they start weaving themselves into all these aspects of your life. And if that person is negative or drama filled or, you know, not a good friend, or your relationship is rooted in something on a level that's superficial, you know, you're putting that back into yourself, into your, that's not the kind of thing you want to be feeding yourself. You know, you have to watch what you quote unquote feed yourself. Because so much of how we react to things is rooted in the people around us, you know? We think about, what would my best friend say? What would such and such say? And, you know, you have to really put yourself in a position where you are acknowledging that the people around me do have an effect on how I look at the world. If those people aren't adding something, they're taking something away.
Ooh, yes, the givers and takers. For sure, yes. It plays a huge part. And I think at the end of the day, it comes down to self-awareness. You know,
absolutely,
you can protect your energy. You can put up boundaries with people. If you need emotional connection, then you have to decide that. And then I have my friends where I really can spiel and feel comfortable with and spiel my emotions and cry in front of, and I feel so comfortable crying in front of them. You know, it all comes down to self-awareness. I think you can maneuver so much in your life, and when you have perspective and you see it, that's the biggest thing. When you're grounded in yourself and you know who you are,
absolutely,
and you have so much self-awareness, you can see clearly. Because I think that, similar to your story, mine, I was in illusion. Like, I like to say walking like a zombie. Like, I literally walked like, mm-hmm, a zombie. I was living, I was breathing, but I wasn't really seeing clearly, like, my relationships, how much I was giving, why I was
you
giving
were in a
so
fog.
Much. Oh, my goodness. And when that, those, and when you wake up and you see it, I'm like, oh my God, 20 years, 10 years spent with these people. And I wasn't even getting what I really needed out of that.
So true.
As much as you think I'm a hard ass, I'm such an emotional, sensitive person. I literally would do that. And the reason why I went to therapy is because there was not one person at that time that I felt safe with to speak my truth.
Yeah.
And let them know what I was going through. So sometimes therapy is not this big thing, or talking to a coach. It's another human being that you can talk to and who can give you sound advice. Because everyone's
exactly.
advice is not, you know, it's usually sometimes from their perspective or their own world. Like, your parents can only give you advice on what they would do in that situation, not talk you through so you can answer it for yourself of what's good for you. That's the beauty of a coach and a therapist. They're not telling you how to live.
They're pulling it out of you so you can tell yourself how you want to live. Like, that's the key. I think people don't understand that aspect of, like, that was like a ding-dong moment. Like, ooh, light bulb on. You know what I mean? Because you need someone to help you pull it out of yourself.
It's all about, like, what I tell people is, yeah, I can give you advice. I can tell you, you know, what next step to take or what have you, but it's so much more impactful if I help you activate it within yourself. If I can help pull that out of you, because, you know, I had another coach tell me this, and it was so impactful to me really early on in the beginning. And she said, you know, you don't so much always want to validate people, because when you do that, then they need you for that validation constantly. You want to have them validate themselves, and so that you can help them pull that out of themselves. Because so much of coaching, it is a collaborative relationship. It is an unbiased person that you can talk to who doesn't know your life, you know, who doesn't know the people in your life, who you can come to and spill everything to. And then that person will help you initiate change and initiate positive change, so to speak, within yourself, and help pull out and help activate you to take initiative in your life. I always tell people, you know, I had someone tell me, like, well, why can't you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps? And I kind of laughed for a minute. I said, you know, well, what do you do when someone doesn't have any boots on anymore or any straps to pull anymore, when they are so low? And I said, that's when you seek out somebody. That's when you say, you know, yes, I need a therapist, or yes, I need a coach, or yes, I need this. You know, you go to someone who has dealt with this before, or someone who doesn't know you and can give you that cold, hard truth. Someone who can help you activate it within yourself, and let that person be your bootstrap. Borrow their belief. I did an Instagram live about this, saying, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, like, I want you to know that I believe in you. You can borrow belief from me until you believe in yourself enough. And so much, I think, of what a coach does, besides pulling out and besides helping you activate yourself, is it gives you someone who believes in you, who isn't emotionally attached, so to speak, but who you can borrow that belief from until you believe enough in yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. This is wonderful. I'm so happy. Caitlin's in the self-love and personal growth group, so I had to reach out to her, get her on the podcast, so you can hear her story, learn a little bit more what a coach does and how they can help you. And it's just been fantastic. I'm so happy that you took the time out to sit down with me.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And you know what? I'm going to leave off this podcast with one quote that I think is so fitting for this, is there is no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs.
Yes.
So you have to do the work every single day, every moment. Because you know what? You are loved and you're worth it, period. You know, so if you guys haven't, join us over to the Self-Love and Personal Growth group. We're having dialogue. We are answering questions. You can get to know Caitlin more in the group. She's in there. She's active. Right now, I know you have a program going on. Can you talk a little bit about that before we end
episode? Yes, I do. So I offer one-on-one coaching. I offer a six-week and a three-month program. Right now, I am offering a scholarship for my six-week program at one-third the price of what I normally charge. If you're interested, you can send me a private message or find me on my website, thesundayseries.com. And you can send me an email. I am a firm believer in, you know, that it's okay to ask for help. You know, I used to not be, but if you are wanting to reach out, and maybe you're not ready to reach out, I also have a course, All One Mindset, on my website called 6 Weeks to a Better You, a Life and Mindset Makeover. So maybe you're not ready for one-on-one, or you're not ready to reach out yet, but you want to learn more about mindset and you want to learn more about how to up-level, that course may be great for you. But yeah, you can find me in Saida's group. I also have my own group, Fully Empowered Female Badasses. I would love to get to know you more and love to help you really up-level your mindset, your confidence, and get you living the life that you deserve to be living. You know, get you on the right track for 2019 and the right track for your life, so that you can live that life that's rooted in passion and purpose and really fuels and ignites your soul.
And we're going to make sure we have all those links in the show notes for you so you can get right to it. Thank you again, Caitlin, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And everyone, you know, take care of yourself. Until next time.